Every man, every woman has a dream. William Wilberforce, who was an English politician and statesman 150 years ago, had a dream of a day when slavery would be ended, both in Great Britain and in America. He worked hard at it. That day has come. Martin Luther King stood in front of the Washington Monument, Washington, D.C., and said he had a dream when whites and blacks would sit down together and would eat together and would worship together, and people worked hard at it. And that day has come. John F. Kennedy stood before the American people and said he had a dream of a day that we would put men on the moon. We would conquer outer space. Many of you have worked hard at that. And that day has come. Millions of Germans had a dream of the day when the wall in Berlin would come down. And they prayed and they worked. And that day has come. We all have dreams. Dreams for ourselves, dreams for our children, dreams for our future, dreams for our nation, dreams for our job. But those are temporal dreams. Those are earthbound dreams. There is a dream, however, that's bigger than all of those. The dream that all mankind has was first voiced in a question by the ancient biblical writer Job, who said, if a man die, will he live again? The dream that we all have, dream of life beyond this earth, dream to live on after death, to rise again, and that day has come because of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here today to celebrate that the dream has come to pass. For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Victory over life, victory over death is yours if you accept Jesus Christ. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered, they could not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." You know, God uses ordinary events to bring to pass extraordinary things. We fret and we worry so much when things don't go the way we planned. But we're here this morning in testimony of the fact that God is in control of both life and death. 23 years ago, I'd been fired from my position as pastor of a small local church. I thought it was the end of everything. I really thought that life just might be over for us. Small group of us, about 60, including the children, five of whom were my own, met right over there on the other side of that little lake at Wickham Park here. It's on a Sunday afternoon, the Sunday before Easter. And we brought food and we spread it out. And we invited our friends. We were forming a new church. And I tried to hype it up, sound excited, but I was miserable. I was discouraged. I was beaten down by life and by my own sin. I was as near quitting everything as I have ever been. It was a crucifixion experience with that little group of about 30 adults and 30 children. And now I'm looking out here and I say, we're back. Resurrection. God is in control. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you today, with all the things that you feel life is crushing out of you, all the disappointments you feel, all the things that you want to happen that don't seem to be happening, when you commit those things to the living Lord, God brings resurrection. He does it His way, and He does it in His time, for He is Lord. 47 days ago, Ash Wednesday, for those of you who are part of the liturgical church, opening day of Lent, which is the time of preparation, which precedes Easter, Jana Hogan brought Michael Thompson and I out here to this place, and we stood on this little stage. And Jana said that God had spoken to her. And she said that God had said that He wanted this place filled with people on Easter Sunday. We were to sing and dance and celebrate and have a great procession, and we were to have chicken for dinner, and we were to have an Easter egg hunt for the kids, and we were going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Well, who's Jana Hogan? Well, other than the fact that Jana and Ace are sitting up here on the platform beside my wife, Jackie, they're nobody. Ace has a lawn care service. Jana used to work for Hugh Hefner, Playboy Club. Then after being nearly killed in an accident, she met Jesus. And she accepted Jesus. And God has given her a prophetic and a miracle ministry. She hears from God. But that's no different from a lot of other people who hear from God. Because God is alive through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He's still speaking today. And He's telling us what pleases Him. He's simply looking for a group of people who will hear Him and who will walk it out. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things, hearing God and passing His Word on to others. On a Friday more than 2,000 years ago, religious people, threatened by a man who called himself the Son of God, put him to death. It was a horrible death. He nailed him to a cross, stripped him naked, and hung him up without clothes in front of all the people to bleed to death in front of the crowd of people. It took him 3 hours from noonday until 3 p.m. in the afternoon to die, hanging there on that cross. It was the end of a marvelous dream. Even his followers thought it was over when they buried him in a borrowed tomb in a small garden. But 3 days later, early in the morning on the first day of the week, the earth shook, and the Roman guards at the tomb were struck down, and angels appeared and rolled away the huge stone from the mouth of the cave and left it open as it is today. And the Holy Spirit in great power filled the dead body of the Son of God, and He rose. The tomb could not hold Him. And He walked forth alive and is alive today. And we say, hallelujah, and we celebrate His resurrection. In His dying, He did two things. He paid the penalty for our sin. He died for us. And now, if we accept Him and follow Him, we don't have to pay the penalty for our sinful life. In ordinary terms, we don't have to go to hell when we die. We get to go to heaven instead. We get to live together We get to live with Him. We get to be part of a great family who joins Him around the throne of God because He lives today. Second, He fulfilled the prophecy by Isaiah. By His stripes, Isaiah had written 700 years before. By His death, we are healed. Salvation and healing was purchased at the cross of Jesus Christ. And we don't have to be tormented by the demons who make us sick anymore. God has given us authority to claim and to walk out our healing. The older I grow, the more I'm interested in life after death. Is it so? Is it simply a tale that men have made up to give us some kind of false hope because we don't want to think that we're like the ants and the roaches and the crickets that people step on? Is there really a heaven? Do we really keep on living after our body dies? How do we know? We know because there is one who has experienced, who has gone on before and who has returned and said, I am the way. Follow me. Follow my path, and I will take you through the maze of death into eternal life. The Son of God died and returned from the dead, and He has opened the way for us to eternal life. 2 weeks ago, I visited my mother in a nursing home in Vero Beach. She's 92 years old. And her body and her mind are gradually failing. And she keeps telling me every time I go to see her that she wants to go home. And I know what she's talking about. That afternoon, I tried to tell her about an experience we had had in our church service that morning. I thought that she would be interested in knowing that her great-grandson, David, who is 6 years old. When you have 12, it's hard to remember. But that my grandson, her great-grandson, little David Renzino, had been baptized that morning. That his daddy, Marion, who is a vice president of the Barnett Bank here in Melbourne, had gotten into the baptistry with his little boy, David, and had baptized him. And my mother had a hard time understanding. She wasn't quite able to grasp all the facts as I told them to her, and she would grab bits and pieces of what I was saying, and then it would slip away from her. She began to cry. And she said, I just can't remember. And I told her, I said, Mother, it's okay that you don't remember. It's all right that you don't remember. And I read to her from Isaiah 43, forget the former thing, Isaiah said. Do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And I told her, I said, Mother, what's about to happen is so much greater than what has happened that it just doesn't make any difference whether you remember. What has happened has happened. What is about to happen is in God's hands. That's the important thing. And then she looked at me, and she remembered. And she asked the old question that I used to hear her father, old Colonel Thompson, who was a Kentucky colonel up in Winchester, Kentucky. When we were little kids, we'd go up and visit in the big old house in Winchester, Kentucky. And I can remember going to bed in that big old house. It had 9 bedrooms in it and a fireplace in every bedroom and chimneys sticking up out of the ceiling. And I can remember Colonel Thompson shouting through the house late at night, calling to his wife, whom he called Mama, and saying, "Mama, are all the children in?" Wasn't going to go to bed until he knew where all the kids were. And my mother, down there in the nursing home, suddenly had a brilliant flashback to all those years, and she turned and looked at me, and she said, "Jamie, are all the children in?" And I realized that when you get down to the end of life, nothing else makes any difference. Nothing else really counts unless you know that all the children are in. That they've all accepted Jesus. That they're all part of the kingdom of God. And that they're all going to heaven and you're going to meet them again someday. It's just that simple. And nothing else makes any difference. All the armies that ever marched and all the navies that ever sailed, all the governments that ever sat, all the scientists who ever came up with all their marvelous formulas, all the rockets we put into outer space, nothing else matters at the end except whether all the children are in. That's all it counts. And she looked at me and said, "Jamie, are all the children in?" And I said, "Yes, Mother. As far as I know, all the kids have come home." And she looked at me and she said, "Then I can go to sleep, can I?" And I said, "Yes, it's okay to go to sleep. Wake early, and I'll see you in the morning." That's God's message to all of us. That's what Jesus Christ is all about. He came to gather a family. He came to bring us all together. I know that we come from many, many different kinds of backgrounds. I know that we come from all kinds of belief status, but that really doesn't make any difference. As long as we can say, "He is Lord. He is mine. Lord." And so I want to close this morning by giving you 3 invitations. I want to explain exactly what I'm going to do, because I want you to respond. I'm going to ask, how many of you want to know more about God? And in just a minute, we're going to give you an opportunity to express that. If you're here this morning and you simply say, "I want to know more about this God. I'm not quite prepared to make a commitment, but I want to know more about Him. There's something in my heart that says, I feel that I'm drawn to Him." And so if you want to know more about God, I'm going to give you an opportunity of getting up and coming down to the front. We've got 2 things we're going to give you. We're going to give you a copy of this magazine, Charisma, and we're going to give you a copy of this little book called Power for Living, which will explain all about God, tell you what He's all about, who He is, and what this Bible is all about. We've distributed more than 14 million copies of these all over the world. We want you to have a copy of it this morning. And then we're going to give you a little card, and we want you to fill that out. And as you go back to your seat, there'll be an usher standing there. We want you to leave the little card with us so that we can pray for you. We're going to pray for you as you come forward. That's the first group. The second group, there's some of you here this morning who want to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. You want to say this morning, "I accept Jesus as my Savior." And we want you to come forward also. And we're going to give you a copy of this same material, this magazine and this little book. And we're going to pray for you. And then we're going to let you go back to your seat. And then if there's any of you here this morning who are saying, "I don't think God wants me sick. And I'm ready for somebody to pray for me that I can be healed." We got a group of people who are going to pray for you. We're going to lay hands on you and pray for you and let you go back to your seat. We're just going to keep you for a minute. You're going to come forward. We're going to give you some material, we're going to pray for you, and we're going to let you go back to your seat. And then after we do that, We're going to dismiss, and we're going to eat. We're going to have an Easter egg hunt, and the kids are going to have a good time. But we want to have you the opportunity of making sure that things are right with God, or of at least saying, I want to know more about Him. And so we're going to give you those three invitations. If you simply say, I want to know more about this God that I'm hearing about, or if you're saying, I'm prepared this morning to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to make a commitment to that. Or if you're saying, I'm sick, and I believe that God can heal me, that He purchased my healing at Calvary. We're going to ask you to come forward. We're going to pray for you. I want those who are going to be ministering to come and stand here at the front. We're going to give you the opportunity just to get up from where you are. I want the rest of you to remain seated. As people pass you and head forward, pray for them as they come down here, if you would. Somebody's coming forward.